This really is a great, great season for our church. And I know it's the summer months and a lot of people are camping and things like that, but we have so many exciting things coming up and kids camps this summer, youth camp. Yesterday, Janice and I went up and we visited our kids at camp. And man, they were just having a great time. I got to say, we've got a great group of children here at Bethel Church, and what a great time they were having. A great youth staff as well, working with our kids, and it was really exciting to be up there. It's hot, but the kids are having an awesome time, and God is doing great things at kids camp this week. And man, if I was a parent or grandparent with kids in this church, I got to tell you, I would be so proud of our kids' ministries, because they do such great things. And yeah. Next couple of Sundays are going to be really, really great Sundays. Next Sunday is the 4th of July. And I know we got barbecues and all of those kind of things going on, but what better way to start off your 4th of July than being in the house of God and giving thanks to God for the country that we live in and acknowledging the fact, yes, and acknowledging the fact that our founders had a vision that we would be one nation under God. So next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that. The following Sunday, we're calling Celebration Sunday, and it's going to be a party here at Bethel Church. We're celebrating the final payment of our church mortgage. Yeah. So we got some fun things planned for that Sunday. Just come expecting to have fun. It's going to be a great, great day. All right, turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, there is no better life than the life of following Jesus. Amen? There is no greater life than that. Not only because of what Jesus does in our lives, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, but also as we follow the instruction of the Lord, we become the best version of ourselves and we live the best life possible. Now, of course, in this world, life is never going to be problem-free. We're gonna face problems just like everybody else in life. But as we face those problems, as we go through those high points and low points in life, we do it with Jesus. Amen? And we do it with the strength that he gives us. And we do it with the instruction that he provides for us. I am so excited about the passage that we're going to look at this morning, because it's going to give us such a deeper understanding of how we can build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." So notice the very first word in our text this morning, the word consequently. Consequently, this word lets us know that the writer, in this case the Apostle Paul, has previously written about something that is the reason or the catalyst for what he is saying now. So there's a catalyst, and then there's the result. Something has happened that has caused something else to happen. In this case, something very good to happen. So we're going to look at, first of all, the result, and then we're going to take a look at the catalyst. The result is something awesome in our lives. We are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. In other words, you belong. You belong. And the good news for us is Paul is not only writing to these Christians in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, he's writing to us today. We belong. We belong. I want everybody to just say this with me. Just say, I belong. I belong. Say it again with conviction. I belong. Right? Everyone wants to belong somewhere. Even the self-declared loner, deep in his heart, has a longing to belong. That's why people join clubs or get involved in sports or even go to church. They want to belong. This is why so many people get involved with social media. They want to belong. This is why people will dress a certain way, talk a certain way, or do certain things. They want to belong. In fact, this longing to belong is so profound in our lives that people will even do things that are contrary to their own well-being in order to feel like they belong. Fortunately for us, however, there's nothing we need to do to prove that we belong. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing we need to do to prove that we belong. Amen? Because the reason we belong is the consequence of something that God Himself has already done. All right, so that's the result. Now let's go back to the catalyst. What makes it possible for us to belong? You go back to verse 13. It says, "You who were once far away have been brought near by what? By the blood of Christ." You belong. And the reason you belong is because of the grace of God. It's because of God's grace. It's not anything you had to do. You didn't have to prove yourself. You didn't have to do anything. You belong because God chose you. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. And you belong to the greatest thing of all. You belong to the household, to the family of God. And then in the next few verses, Paul shifts his attention. He says, you belong, you're in the family. Now, here's why being in that family or being in that household is so awesome. You go to verse 20. With Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So who is this household that we are part of built upon? Jesus, right? Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. So what does this mean? Because we don't really talk about or use cornerstones these days. What does it mean for us now that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of our lives? I want to give you three things this morning that you can build your life on. The first one is this: Jesus is the infallible model. He's the infallible model. In Jesus' time, when they were going to build a house, the cornerstone was the very first part of the house to be set into place. The cornerstone was the most important part of the entire house because everything else would be lined up and built upon the cornerstone. So Jesus then, being our cornerstone, he is the ultimate model for our lives. The ultimate role model, right? So when you're thinking about, well, who should I pattern my life after? Who can I look up to? Who can be my mentor? The first person you need to consider is Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate model for us to follow, and he's perfect in every way according to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26 says that Jesus is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. I've been asked in my life, Tim, why would you ever follow Jesus? Well, there are many reasons that I choose to follow Jesus, but one of the reasons is the fact that he's perfect. Right? Is the one and only person who's ever lived that lived a perfect life and never sinned, not even once. In action or in word or even in thought. So For me, the question is not, why would I follow Jesus? The question is, why wouldn't I follow Jesus? Why would I follow anyone else? Jesus is perfection. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says that Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. Colossians 1:15 says that the Son, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Colossians 1:18 says Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Philippians chapter 2 in verse 9 says God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah. So he is the ultimate role model for us. He's our cornerstone. He is the infallible, perfect model for us. A second thing that it means to say Jesus is our cornerstone is that Jesus is the unchangeable plumb line. The unchangeable plumb line. Now, again, a plumb line is not something that many of us would be familiar with, but basically a plumb line is used by builders to make sure that everything lines up the way it's supposed to be lined up. And so with the cornerstone, everything needed to be measured by and lined up with the cornerstone, and anything that was even slightly off in any direction was going to throw the entire building completely off. So the cornerstone was the very thing that everything else was going to be measured by, right? In other words, the cornerstone was the truth. The cornerstone was the truth. And everything else needs to line up with that truth. Going back into the Old Testament book of Amos, Amos chapter 7, God talks about the importance of the plumb line. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to the plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," he replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people, Israel." Now, why is this important for us to remember today? Well, church, we live in a culture that is, by large, either denounced the existence of God or completely ignored the authority of God. And so, to a great degree, right or wrong are not determined by God any longer, but by the winds of popular opinion. Now, how many of you know sometimes the majority is right, but many times the majority is wrong? This is why it's important that we make sure that Jesus is the plumb line. Amen? Because where there's no acknowledgement of the authority of God, there's no definitive plumb line. And it's very much like what we see in the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 17 and verse 6, where it says, "In those days Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed to be right in their own eyes." There's no plumb line. There's no king. So church, if you're looking for some definitive direction in your life, it starts with Jesus. Amen? He is the only right king. Yeah. When a person or a culture rejects Christ as the cornerstone, there is no dependable measure of good and evil, right and wrong, just and unjust, or wise and unwise. Listen, church, in a world that's crying out for justice, and crying out for social justice. Listen, we should all want justice, but we should all remember that the only one that defines justice is not our culture, it's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that knows what's really just and what isn't just. So without him, there is no real justice. He is the one we measure life by, church. Amen? Yeah. And he is the one we measure our own lives by. Don't look at your life and think, well, I'm doing a little better than that guy. I'm good. That's not how God sees it. Amen? Yeah. Everything is measured by Jesus. And he should be the ultimate goal for us. We look to Jesus. We take our cues from him and we follow him. So Jesus is the ultimate plumb line for our lives. And then thirdly, Jesus is the immovable anchor. Amen. The immovable anchor. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Now, how many of you know the winds of politics, they're going to shift? Right? You better not be building your life on a politician or a political party. Yeah. Things change. Things shift. The only one that we should be building our life on is Jesus. Yeah, he is the solid foundation of our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, this is the second place, the only other place in the New Testament that refers to Jesus as the cornerstone. And it says that Jesus is a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. In other words, as we make Jesus the cornerstone of our lives, that's something solid to build on. And you'll never go wrong. You'll never be put to shame. I look back in all my years of following Jesus, and I can tell you I don't have a single regret about the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hasn't always been easy. There's been tough times. But I can look back and say, man, I can't imagine what life would have been without Jesus. He is the solid rock that we build our lives on. Sadly, unfortunately, we've been reminded this last week about the importance of a house being built on a solid foundation. And the tragic consequences when that hasn't happened, when things haven't been done the right way. Well, church, I'm here to tell you, if you're building your life on anything but Jesus, you're on shaky ground. And the only one we can really trust is Jesus himself. Not in a church, not in a pastor, not in some philosophy of life. We build on Jesus. Amen. We make sure that we're built on him. And by the way, church, Jesus needs to be the cornerstone. Some people, they want Jesus in their life, but they don't really want him to be the cornerstone. So what they do is they build a spare room. You know, they do an addition. They say, well, I'm just going to basically keep my life the same as it's been, but now I've got this nice addition of Jesus. And I'm just going to mix Jesus into everything else and just add him, and nothing else is going to change, but now I got Jesus over here, and when I need to talk to him, I'll just go knock on his door. And he's going to be there for me. Listen, church, that ain't going to cut it. That ain't going to cut it. Jesus doesn't deserve a spare room. He's the cornerstone. He's the one everything has to be built on. And if you're living your life in such a way that Jesus is just kind of over here on the sideline, I'm just telling you, it ain't going to work that way. It ain't going to work. He's got to be the very foundation that you build your life on, and then you'll never go wrong. You won't. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment. And I'm going to give us just an opportunity to pray together, and then we're going to sing another worship song to the Lord in response to His word. But I want to ask you the question that I just brought up in my message at the end here. When you look at your life, would you say Jesus is the cornerstone? Or is He in a spare room? Is He an addition to your life? And today, do you need to make that decision to start over and say, all right, this isn't working to have Jesus in a spare room. I need to make Him the cornerstone of my entire life. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. Perhaps you've come into this place today and you don't even have a relationship with the Lord, or perhaps at one point in your life, you'd given your life to Jesus, but today you're not really making Him the Lord of your life. You're not really following Him. I want to invite you right now to recommit your life to Jesus. I want to invite you, would you at the very least, even if you're not even sure if you believe in God, would you at the very least say, God, I'm open. I'm open today. So I just want to ask, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to count to three. And if today you need to make sure that Jesus is the cornerstone of your life and you'd acknowledge that's really not where it's been, I haven't really made Him the cornerstone. I haven't really made Him the foundation that I'm building on, and I need to get back to that. I'm going to count to three, and if today you need to make that recommitment to Jesus Christ, when I get to three, I want to invite you to just raise your hand up and just say, that's me, Pastor Tim. That's me, Pastor Tim. Today, I need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ, or I need to give my life to Jesus for the first time. Raise your hand up when I get to three. One, two, three. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you over here. Awesome, right back here. God bless you. Others this morning. This is God working in people's hearts. It's an awesome thing. Any others this morning? Yeah, God bless you. Right up here toward the front. Awesome. Anybody else? I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. I want to invite those of you who raise your hand this morning to pray this prayer along with me in church. I'm going to invite you to pray along with those that have raised their hand. Would you just repeat after me this morning? But understand, when we pray this morning and you're repeating words after me, you're not just repeating words after me. God sees your heart. God's going to answer your prayer. You're crying out to Him right now. So let me pray with you this morning. Let me lead you in this prayer. Pray after me. Heavenly Father, I need Jesus in my life. I need You to be my cornerstone. I don't need You in a spare room. I need to build my life on You. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on a cross for my sins. And I believe You've risen from the dead. So Lord, right now, I ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I want to build my life on You. In Jesus' name, amen.